Hello and welcome back to another episode of the Chronic Fatigue and Burnout Recovery Podcast. In today's episode, we're going to be talking about how to respond to people, family, friends, work colleagues when they offer perhaps unsolicited advice or have strong opinions about what you are or aren't doing in your health journey. Some people, although very well-meaning, can often give advice, which can sometimes feel frustrating, can sometimes cause a buildup of resentment in some cases. Or sometimes we can maybe feel even judged or attacked for the way that we are caring for ourselves. And I think what gets a lot of people's backs up is it's just so difficult to be on this journey and living day to day with your symptoms, with the challenges, with the mental load of managing a chronic illness is unimaginable. And therefore, when other people chime in, perhaps without really taking the time to understand what we're going through and how challenging it is, that can create a little bit of resentment. It can create anger. It can create frustration. And in some cases, it can even create overwhelm. And it can feel really unhelpful. And it can also start to create tension in relationships, which otherwise could potentially be really supportive. So that's what this episode is about. This episode is about just understanding where we're at in these types of situations, where the other person is coming from in these situations. And then I'll offer some tools, potentially some scripts to manage these situations in a way that will feel more friendly on your nervous system. Before we go into the show today, as always, I'd love to ask if you enjoyed the podcast, if you found the podcast helpful and you haven't already left a review, I would really appreciate if you do. You can leave a 5-star rating on Spotify. You can leave a 5-star rating and even a little comment on iTunes. I do enjoy catching up on some of the comments on iTunes from time to time. And I must say, I really appreciate your reviews. They help other people find the podcast and get more help, because we know that it's hard often to find good quality information as you're navigating this journey. The other thing you can do is, if it's helpful, is you can share this episode with someone that you think may find it beneficial, and potentially even share it with your loved ones so that they can understand a little bit about where you might be coming from in relation to this particular topic. Before I go into the rest of the episode, I also just thought I'd do a little bit of a personal life update, because I know some people just like to hear the storytelling, maybe as well as the information. It's January at the moment. It's the first week of January, and I haven't recorded a podcast in a really long time, actually. At the end of last year, was incredibly busy in my one-on-one practice. I took some time off to go to South Africa to see my family over Christmas, and preparing to take the time off was very, very intense. So podcasting had to get put by the wayside as I focused on my clients and wrapping everything up for the year. But then I did have a wonderful, very, very restorative time in South Africa. And I always do find that breaks are incredibly beneficial to me for self-reflection and also for reconnecting with myself a little bit. I think I'm a very purpose-led individual. My practice, my business is a huge part of my identity and who I am. But it can also be really hard when you're working with people who are ill all the time. You kind of feel like you're living and breathing in this illness space. And sometimes it's really good for me to be able to take a step fully out of that space and just be Anna, really. Anna who's not attending to the needs of other people. Anna who's not producing content for social media or the podcast or the blog. Anna, who's not constantly thinking about mechanisms and nervous system and all of these different things and test results and supplements and all the things that come with the job, but really just to be a little bit more free and to enjoy some downtime, to enjoy some time just tending to my own needs and coming back to my rhythm again and a little bit more of my flow. So this particular holiday in South Africa was particularly nourishing for all of those reasons. And I am doing my best now as I come into the new year to reconnect with that rhythm, that flow, or not necessarily reconnect, maybe to maintain some of that reconnection that I was able to establish. And yeah, it's really made me reflect on boundaries, the boundaries I have with myself as I support others, the boundaries I have with the people that I'm supporting. And I can also see that I have been really working too hard and doing too much. And my fellow doers will probably really resonate with this, like as have a few clients say to me recently, like as their energy is coming back, it's so tempting for some of those old habits to come back in again. And I would say the same is true for me. I'm so much more patient. I'm so much more, I want to say slower, like I do things so much more slowly than what I used to. I'm a lot more mindful of just working at the right pace, but it can still be sometimes like a little bit of a runaway train. And these little holidays and resets are really good just to kind of recalibrate the system and then reevaluate and just think about like how I look after me as I move forward and support many, many people. So that's just a little bit of an insight into my personal musings, I guess, from the holiday and personal thoughts and feelings as we move into the new year. Although I appreciate this podcast will probably publish maybe February, March time. So the new year will be old news by the time you listen to this. But anyway, let's go into the episode talking about how we respond to people and their interference, shall we say. I don't know, interference is probably a bit of a harsh word, but as we navigate our journeys and we're engaging with people and they're offering maybe feedback or advice, how do we navigate that and respond to people and set boundaries around our own self-care? The place I'd like to start is this idea of unsolicited advice. So, you know, you might be sharing with a friend, a family member, a work colleague even, a little bit about your health journey and a little bit about your diagnosis. And they might come in with a recommendation. So I'm sure we've all heard these ones before. Have you tried yoga? Have you tried meditation? Have you tried B12 injections? Not to say that these things aren't helpful, but when you've tried them and they haven't been helpful for you, these recommendations can be somewhat frustrating because you're like, yes, I've tried it all. Thank you very much. And so where this can potentially cause a point of tension is, first of all, we might not necessarily be looking for advice. We might not have the capacity to receive the advice. And our primary need at that moment in time is not to fix, not to find solutions, not to have more things put on your plate. But what we actually want is connection. We want to be seen. We want to be heard. We want to be understood. And we really want to feel that we're being felt, that someone sees us and they can really, even if it's not to the full extent, grasp how hard this journey is. We really want someone to sit with us in our pain and just be there as a space holder, as a regulating nervous system. We want someone to be there with us so that we can feel less alone. What we're not looking for is more stuff to do, more stuff to overwhelm our system with, and also another thing to do can also be setting a boundary. When someone comes at us with more information and we have to say, yes, I tried that and it didn't work, or actually it's a little bit more complicated than that, then even though that person is coming with that advice from a place of support and care and possibly love, when we have to put a boundary in place and say, no, that's enough information, or I don't have capacity for that, or actually I've tried that already, or you're not giving me what I need right now, which is connection, it takes more energy from our system to put the boundary in place. The boundary is another thing that we have to do. So what we're really wanting in this situation is for someone to say, that sounds really hard, or I'm so sorry that you're going through this, that it's just so unfair that this has happened to you, or just, I'm so, so sorry. And maybe we might want them to say, what do you need? What can I do? How can I help? Not necessarily jump in and offer fixing or solutions, because 9 times out of 10, you've probably already been on ChatGPT and Googled all the things that you want to Google, or searched all the things that you want to search. And whatever that person is potentially offering you is nothing new. But let's look at what are the possibilities in terms of where this person may be coming from. They may genuinely feel like they know something that could genuinely help you. And whether they are right or wrong or misinformed, they are coming from this place where they believe that they have something really, really important that they want to share with you. And, you know, they may come in with a story like, oh, I had this friend that just did this and it changed everything, or a colleague or a relative or whoever it might be. But we have to acknowledge that even if they did have great advice, fantastic advice, we may not have the capacity to receive this. I see this all the time with clients, is I can tell them to do all these amazing, wonderful things. You should do this, you should do that, you should do blood sugar regulation, we can do this testing, we can take this supplement. And in some cases, some people will take that information and they will run with it and they will do great. And other people, they're full. Their capacity is full by the time I've said blood sugar regulation. They have no more brain power for the rest of it, even if the rest of it is helpful. And so we have to acknowledge when we're working on our health, we can only work as fast as our nervous system has capacity. Anything more, be it helpful or not helpful, would be too much for a system that is already full. And so, therefore, whatever that person is coming at you with, you may not have the capacity to receive. And it's understanding that they are not necessarily wrong for trying to help you, but in that moment, the help is unhelpful because it's overwhelming. And this is where they can potentially get frustrated, like, why don't you want to listen to me? Why don't you want to hear my advice? And in which case, there might be some education around this idea of the nervous system capacity and overwhelm, and a conversation needs to be had, but it also requires energy on your behalf to do the educating, which is something that you also may or may not have capacity for. The other possible thing that can arise in these situations is that the other individual is uncomfortable with our pain. When we sit in front of someone and we say, this really horrible thing is happening to me and my life feels so out of control, and sometimes I just feel hopeless and I don't know what to do and I feel so awful, they may not have the capacity in their own nervous system to hold it. And therefore, their solution is to try and move you out of pain as fast as they can move you out of pain, so that they don't have to feel your pain, because your pain is too dysregulating for them. And so in which case, if they could just say, do some yoga, do some meditation, and if you were hypothetically to respond, oh, that's such a great idea, I hadn't thought of that, I'm definitely going to try, then that would change the state of your system because you would be excited, you would have a solution, you would have something you could go away and do. And they'd be like, oh, okay, doesn't feel so bad anymore. And so their offering, shall we say, of offering the solution is an attempt to move you out of your own pain so that they don't have to experience that pain because it reflects their own nervous system dysregulation and lack of emotional capacity. So we also have to understand that sometimes people are trying to fix or find solutions not because they're not trying to be helpful to us, because they are, but also because they're trying to soothe their own discomfort. And so ultimately here, when we come back to ourselves, we're understanding now that the intention of the other person is either to genuinely feel that they have something that you really, really need to know, or they are trying to soothe by finding solutions for you, or maybe even a combination of the two, then that's where they're coming from. And then our response to where they're coming from is really down to an unmet need. The unmet need being this desire to connect, this desire to be met, this desire to feel felt in your experience so that you can feel less alone in your experience. And instead, when this person comes at you with their solutions or suggestions, you feel that that need has been completely dismissed or skipped over. That is going to cause some dysregulation in your own system. So what I'd like to suggest here is some responses that you could give if you are put in this situation. If someone has come to you and they're offering, like, have you tried this? Have you tried that? Here are some suggestions for you. Something you could say is, thank you for your suggestions. I'm at my limits for new information right now, but I'll let you know if that changes. So basically, it's too much. I'm overwhelmed. I've got enough on my plate. What I could really use right now is some emotional support. So you're saying, you're setting like a really soft, gentle boundary. I'm at my limits. This is too much right now. I'm open to it in the future, perhaps. So the other person doesn't necessarily feel too dismissed or rejected. And then you make a request. You make a request for the unmet need, which is what you're really looking for, is emotional support. You're really just looking for that person to be there and hold you in the current state that you're in. And obviously that request at the end can be optional, because we also have to pick our battles. We might know that some people in our lives just don't have the capacity to hold us emotionally. In fact, maybe very few people in your life have the capacity to hold you emotionally. And therefore, if you ask for emotional support from those people, when you know that they're not actually able to give it in the way that you need, then what can potentially happen is that you end up feeling more upset or dysregulated because you now reached for something and then you didn't get it. And so we have to be careful when we're having these conversations with people who we ask what. Because if we're asking someone for something that we know deep down inside they can't give us, we may end up feeling really down. But if we ask the right person or someone we think maybe has the capacity, and then we see them respond to that request in a positive way, we see them open, we see them go, oh yes, actually I can see that that was probably inappropriate, or you didn't ask for that advice, you know, let's just sit and you can just tell me more about what's been happening. And we have that positive experience of, I asked for a need, that need was met. That is very, very supportive and nourishing for our nervous systems. So here is just another example. Thank you for your suggestions. What I've learned so far from all my research is that it's complex and nuanced. I wish there was something as simple as insert whatever it is, a B12 injection, some meditation, yoga, whatever was suggested. But what I'm currently focusing on now is, and then here you can insert my nervous system, my blood sugar, slowing down, pacing, trying to sleep better, you know, whatever it might be. And what I could really use from you is some emotional support. I'd love it if you could, if we could talk more about what's been happening, or I'd love it if I could share some more of the research that I've been doing with you, or I'd love it if I could share a little bit about how some of the things I've tried have already helped, or what I learned about the nervous system last week. So when you have perhaps someone who doesn't necessarily have the emotional capacity to hold that space for you, you can still invite them into supporting you by engaging them on a level that they can meet you at. So what I mean by that is you might not say, I need emotional support, because some people might go, what the hell is emotional support? How do I do emotional support? I don't even emotionally support myself. How do I emotionally support someone else? But you could say, you know, I'd love to tell you more about what I'm doing. Or actually, you could even say, I don't really want to talk about it, but I would love it if we could talk about something fun to distract me. Or if they're a very like heady type person, you could say, I'd like to share the research with you when I'm feeling a little bit better, because today I'm not feeling so great. So giving them the opportunity to meet you on their level, whether that's just listening or engaging in a discussion about something that's a bit more technical or practical, just allowing them to be there for you in some sort of way. But you're also sharing a little piece of your world with them so that they can really begin to understand that this is hard for you. And it might even be explaining, like, I'm really sensitive, so I have to just try one thing at a time. And at the moment, I'm trying this. This response also overlaps a little bit with sometimes two things can happen. So sometimes we can feel judged for not doing enough. So there's this idea that we're being labeled as lazy and we're not trying hard enough, or we're not necessarily making enough of an effort to get better. And people might not blatantly say that to you, but sometimes there's a felt sense that it's implied, or this is what people are thinking about us. The other thing that can happen is that sometimes people can be judgmental of what we're doing. For example, are those supplements really helping you? Do you really need to be so strict about your pacing? Do you not think that your diet is too restrictive? So sometimes people can think that we're not doing enough, and sometimes they can also feel a certain way about what we are doing and think that what we're doing is too controlling or too much or ineffective. And we need to also learn how to manage those attitudes as well. So in reference to the previous response, when we say what I'm focusing on right now is X, Y, and Z, and I'm willing to share with you how it's helping me, we're already kind of addressing that you're not doing enough, you're not trying hard enough judgment, even if it hasn't explicitly been said, sometimes it can be implied. So by responding, you know, thank you for your suggestion. What I've learned so far in my research is that things are complex and nuanced, and what I'm focusing on right now is this. In a way, although it's not our responsibility to support the other person, we are taking some of the pressure off of them to find a solution for us, because there might be those people who are fixers who want to find the solution for you. And by telling them that you've already found something that you can work on, then you are, hopefully that's going to help them feel a little bit more at ease. Oh, okay, there's something that you're doing. Oh, it's great that you found that thing. It's already helping. And then we also remove that judgment of you're not doing enough, you're not trying hard enough, because we're demonstrating that there is something that we're focusing on. Not that it is our responsibility to protect other people's feelings, but in terms of healthy relationships and just understanding the dynamics at play and sort of protecting your own energy around the situation, this could be particularly beneficial. So what I'd like to speak to next is this idea of the judgment of the things that we are, when people are judging what we are doing. So for example, and this comes up a lot with clients, maybe it's friends or family members who are questioning what they're doing. There might be questions around, do you really need to be spending all that money on supplements? Or do you really think that those supplements are actually helping? Or don't you think you should just push through a little bit more? Don't you think that your like diet is a little bit too restrictive? Or do you really need to eat that way? Is it really making a difference? And so what I would say here is, first and foremost, what you are doing to look after your health at the end of the day is actually nobody else's business but yours. However, people being people will always tend to pass some judgment, and you don't necessarily have to or need to defend yourself, but sometimes it can be helpful for you to be able to anchor back into yourself and know that what you are doing, whether it is right or wrong in this moment in time, you're doing it very much likely because it's helping you feel safe and in control in a time in your life where things feel very uncertain and very out of control. And how you reconcile that within yourself is completely up to you, and it is actually no one else's business. But we might want to try and explain that in a very gentle way to people that question us. And so, we, as I said already, we do things for many different reasons. One of those reasons is control and safety because of the uncertainty of chronic illness. But another reason why we do things is because it works. And then another reason why we do things is because we're afraid of what might happen if we stop. And we may not be ready yet. We may not have enough safety, resourcefulness, resilience in our nervous system to make any changes. And it's really important that anything that we do, whether it's starting something or stopping something, that we do it at the pace that feels right for our system. And here it's important to acknowledge that the pace which is right for our system may not always feel comfortable. There's a difference between pushing too hard, moving too fast, muscling through, and the discomfort of expansion. Any step or any progress in fatigue recovery is going to come with some sort of expansion, some sort of change. And that good change may not always feel good in the beginning. It may feel a little bit uncomfortable, but we should be able to make changes that feel uncomfortable, but we are still anchored in our regulation. If we are becoming completely dysregulated by the changes that we're making, then it's likely that we are making those changes faster than our system is ready. It doesn't mean we're doing the wrong things. It might just mean we're doing too much too soon. In which case, some of the feedback that you might want to give if you're being challenged about these different things is, you, first of all, you don't have to talk about it if you don't want to. You can always set a very strong boundary and say, this is something I don't really want to discuss. It's something that's it's a private matter to me. But here are some suggestions. You can also say, I actually don't know if this is helping or not right now, but it gives me a sense of control when life feels very uncertain and I'm not ready to make any changes and rock the boat at this point in time. So that's something that you can say if you don't know something is working or not, but you just don't want to make a change or rock the boat. You could also, for example, if something is helpful, you could say, before I started whatever it might be, a supplement, a practice, a dietary change, I was experiencing X, Y, and Z. So your whatever your symptoms were, I was experiencing a lot of anxiety throughout the day. I was experiencing crashes in the afternoon. I was noticing that I could only do something for a short period of time before I needed to rest. But since I started eating this way to support my blood sugar or taking the supplement or doing these somatic practices, I've noticed that I have a little bit more energy. My energy is more sustained. I feel more stable. I feel less anxious, whatever you've noticed. And therefore, I want to keep going for as long as I need to. You may also have questions like about, again, this is maybe if you don't know if it's helping or not, you could also say, I don't know if this is helping or not, but I want to fully commit to this and give it my best shot. My day-to-day is so hard right now, and even if this only helps me 1%, 5%, the difference would be worth it for me. So in this answer, we're just saying, like, I've made up my mind, like, I'm committing to this. And you're kind of highlighting, like, life is hard, and I'm really looking to see some progress. And what I hope that this type of response would potentially bring out is that empathy. Oh, yeah, like, it's really hard for you. I understand why you would want to do anything possible to feel a little bit better. And then the final one is more around criticism about being too anxious or too neurotic about how we approach things. We know that we have to move at the pace of our system. And it's very normal when you've done things in the past and experienced crashes, setbacks, or symptoms as a result, to have a fear about trying new things. So here, if someone's saying, oh, come on, you can do it, just go for it, nothing bad is going to happen, or do you really need to worry so much, it'll be fine, you know, maybe different feedback that you receive, you could say, yeah, I know it probably comes across like I'm quite anxious and fearful. And the truth is, I am afraid. I've done things in the past and it has been too much, and I just really don't want to suffer again. So I always feel a little bit nervous when I'm trying something new. And what I really need from you, so again, a request, is to respect my pace and allow me to do things when I'm ready. So those are just a few ways in which we can combat, I guess, some of the interference we may get from other people. What I think is really important to name here, just as we're wrapping up the episode, is that how we categorize our relationships is really important. We will have some people who are really, really close to us and really get us and really understand and are really supportive to the best of their ability, maybe not having had this experience themselves. They can really be there for you and have some empathy and understanding, maybe due to their own life experience. And then you will just have some people who don't get it. They just won't get it for whatever reason. And when we're navigating these territories, we kind of want to think about, in terms of some of the responses that I gave today, they take energy. It takes energy to sort of speak up and defend yourself in a way. And some people in your life, it's going to be worth that energy to, like, open up more, to explain a little bit more, to make the requests, to ask for what you need. And then there are other people where you may just, they're never going to get it. So You just need to set a stronger boundary or just be quite brief with them. So it might just be something like, you know, thank you so much. I don't really want to discuss my health today or at all, you know, with you. It might come across a little bit harsh, but I'm not really interested in talking about my health today. Or it might be a case of, thank you so much for your suggestions. I'll consider them. You know, that's maybe all you need to say. Or I'm just thinking along the lines of, thank you so much for your suggestions. There's a lot I've tried already, and I'm just focusing on these things that are working for me right now. So depending on the relationship you have with the individual, some of these responses will be more opening and inviting for the collaboration and the relationship to grow and encouraging the connection. And then some of these responses might need to be a little bit more brief and a little bit more clipped and a little bit more, there's the boundary, there's the line, and that's where we leave it to prevent that individual perhaps interfering or happening again. So I'll just share a little personal anecdote is when I was at my worst, it was during the very first lockdown. So basically, like, I don't think, like, it was really hard for people, especially my family who were in South Africa at the time, to know how I was affected because they didn't see me. You know, we would speak on the phone, but I also would kind of keep my suffering a bit more to myself and not really express fully, like, obviously I feel a bit bad today, but like not really express fully, you know, how I was. To me, like, it's almost like this part of my life actually never happened as far as my family is concerned. And so I never really, I mean, they never really offered any unsolicited advice. I think they kind of knew I was probably more of the expert than they were, but I didn't feel felt. I didn't feel seen. I didn't feel heard. I didn't feel understood in relation to my illness with my family members. And then randomly, like, even like when I was doing like much better, my mom sent me a blog article on the parent technique. And she was like, oh, I thought you might be interested in this. And I just said, thank you. You know, that was all that I said. I was like, thank you. I was like, yeah, some of my clients have found this helpful. So it was just very short. Because what I learned from this experience and also some of my own things I've been working through as part of my own healing is that when it comes to my family, parents in particular, less so my sister, they don't really do emotions. So whenever I reach out for emotional support, they can't meet me. They can't feel me because they can't feel themselves. And therefore, if I reach out and I'm like, I need emotional support from you, I'm always going to be disappointed. And therefore, I have to just focus on the ways that they do show love. They show love through acts of service. Like, they'll do something for me. But in terms of like emotional engagement, that's not how they would show love. So I let them do the acts of service and I appreciate the acts of service. And then I make sure that that emotional attunement need is met first of all, like I meet myself first. And then I nourish those relationships in my life where I do get that emotional attunement. And then I just set the boundaries around engaging on certain topics when it comes to those particular people in my life. And it's taken a lot of work on my own nervous system to get to a place where it feels enough. You know, there's still little moments, you know, having just come back from a holiday in South Africa with my family, there's still little moments. I mean, I can actually see, there's almost like a humor to this, but there was like one moment when I was having, I was feeling a little bit sad. I was having a little cry. I was talking and my mom was there and I was telling her and I got upset and she took out her phone and she started reading me one of her like marketing emails. I can't even remember what it was about, like maybe like water filters or something. And I was just like, this is so bizarre. This is a very bizarre thing for you to be doing right now. But I was just like, that's how she is. She isn't going to give me that emotional support that I need right now. So I just took myself off to my own space. I tended to my own emotional needs, and there was no love lost. So I guess I'm sharing that little anecdote just to say that how we engage with people really depends on what their capacity is. And the best thing you can do for yourself is lean into or lean towards those relationships where you do feel that those people have capacity to hold you, and then be a little bit more brief, and you don't really need to share so much with the people in your life that can't meet you where you are, because if you reach for that support and it's not there, it will be a source of dysregulation for you. So as always, I hope that something in this episode has been helpful and supportive, and I'll see you in the next one.